الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes he begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance, and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Today, inshallah, we will have the class number 15 of the spiritual clinic, and the class number 3 from the series of the answered supplications. And the class of today is, the title is, Have Full Trust That Your Supplication Will Be Answered. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about the examples in the Quran regarding those who have partners with Allah in their dua, in their supplication, so that we can realize the Quranic rule regarding sincerity in supplication. That is to say, supplication must only be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order to have the proofs that supplication must only be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us learn this example from Surah Al-Hajj, Surah number 22, and we will read from verse number 11 to verse number 15. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةَ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ يَدْعُو مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَضُرُّهُ وَمَا لَا يَنْفَعُ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الضَّلَالُ الْبَعِيدُ يَدْعُو لَمَنْ ضَرُّهُ أَقْرَبُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِ لَبِئْسَ الْمَوْلَى وَلَبِئْسَ الْعَشِيرُ إن الله يدخل الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار إن الله يفعل ما يريد من كان يظن أن لن ينصره الله في الدنيا والآخرة فليمدد بسبب إلى السماء ثم ليقطع فلينظر هل يذهبن كيده ما يغيظ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the example of, as Allah is saying, and among mankind is he who worships Allah as it were upon the edge, that is to say, in doubt. If good befalls him, he is content therewith, but if a trial befalls him, he turns back on his face. He loses both this world and the hereafter, that is evident loss. He calls beside Allah unto that which hurts him not, nor profits him, that is straying far away. He calls upon him whose harm is nearer than his profit, certainly an evil patron and certainly an evil friend. Truly Allah will admit those who believe and do righteous deeds to gardens underneath which rivers flow. Verily Allah does what He wills. Whoever thinks that Allah will not help him in this world and in the hereafter, let him stretch out a rope to the ceiling and let him strangle himself. Then let him see whether his plan will remove that whereat he reacts. Inshallah, now we will know the meaning of these verses of the Quran, so that inshallah we will have the full confidence that dua, supplication, must be only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to have any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of the kind of that partner. We need all to believe that a believer realizes that faith is a reward which every one of us must appreciate its value. When you see the people all around you moving with no aim, pulled here and there, worried, thrown off course, while you yourself, the true believer, is certain of your footsteps, you are calm, reassured by the strong bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A good believer worships Allah in gratitude to Him for having guided him and for the reassurance he feels in being close to Allah. Should there be any further reward, it comes by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moreover, a believer does not put Allah to the test. On the contrary, the true believer accepts everything that Allah determines for him or her, contented with whatever comes, and happy with all the decree and accepting all the decree with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no question of a market deal between a buyer and a seller. All that takes place is submission to the Creator, who initially gives the people existence and who determines their fates. Contrasted with this believer is the person who is mentioned in these verses, as he is having these losing characters. Number one, his worship to Allah is shown to be on the borderline. That is to say, he would say that faith is beneficial. Faith is bringing in material gain, allowing plans to grow, efforts to be successful, hopes to become a reality. He will be very happy with the faith so long he is getting the gain which he is looking from the faith. But if it turns out otherwise, he will take a totally different way. He will call on any other person or any other authority or interest to help instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he lost the trust in Allah's hope and power. He will go astray from the only method in which invocation is of use, the invocation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, when anyone resorts to invoking human being, idols or Satan, instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this means that they take themselves far away from the truth and the right way leading to it. Because none of these can cause either benefit or prevent harm. Indeed, they are more likely to bring harm than benefit. This harm results in the spiritual world from overburdening one's heart with humiliation. Because when you have someone to call on instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must be respectable to that one. You must feel that one is at a higher position than you. So this will cause a lot of psychological burden for you. So this is the meaning of which Allah means that when you worship or when you call on someone other than Allah, you will be having a harm. This is number one, the psychological harm. And also for the material world, its harm is self-evident, as they are powerless. They can never cause benefit. You are calling on someone who can't cause any benefit. So let us actually, all of us, reflect on the last sentence of verse number 13, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in that sentence, verse number 13, that people are calling on those whom their harm is nearer than their prophet, certainly an evil patron, certainly an evil friend. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying at the last sentence of verse number 13 that whoever you call other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the sight of Allah equal to an evil patron and an evil friend. You see, subhanallah. This is actually a statement claiming Allah's evaluation for those who invoke anyone other than Him. Allah the Almighty is using the word evil, which means the loss, the failure, bad decision, and bad fate. Again, Allah is explaining that it is an evil patron, which is powerless, able to cause neither harm nor benefit. And it is an evil friend, because this will bring loss and harm in both lives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us so that every one of us will be aware that when you will call anyone to help you or to support you, believing that he can do anything, Allah is clarifying that you are calling on an evil patron and an evil friend, and their harm is more closer to you than their benefit. So you know, this is warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to every believer not to call on anyone except him. And actually this is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is clarifying to us the fate of our calling on anyone other than him. Allah is sending the message, oh you believer, if you call on anyone other than Allah, you will have an evil friend and you will have an evil patron and you will be having a harm. So be careful. Don't call on anyone. So we must, receive this warning with full attention. We must follow it. And we must be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He make all our affairs only up to Him. So that all praise to Allah, we will not be slaves to any human being or to any value or to any attitude or to idols or to trees or to animals or to any power. I am only servant to the only one whom all life are servant to him. We are all equal because we are servants and slaves to the one. None is better than the other one except the bias. Not the very rich, not the prestigious, not the highly educated, not those people or that people. All of us are equal because all of us are slaves to the only one. All of us are in need of the only one. All of us are supposed to call on the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in verse number 15, which I will read it again so that you know, we believers, we will be always thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He sends for us the Quran and that He makes us to call on Him only. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, sending this message, whoever thinks that Allah will not help him in this world and in the hereafter, let him stretch out a rope to the ceiling and let him strangle himself. You see, this is the language of the power of the One. Allah is the power and Allah is the One. So He is sending this message to all the human beings. If you are thinking that you can have anyone other than Allah, go ahead and show us your power. Go ahead and show us your strength. You know, go ahead and stretch out a rope to the ceiling and strangle yourself. You know, this means that you are equal to less than zero in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to human being, go ahead and strangle yourself, this means that you and yourself have no value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they have no value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they don't believe that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whom all the affairs are up to Him and whom I have to call and to only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So actually the only way to endure hardship is to have the trust in Allah's help by hard work and by doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Calling on anyone other than Allah can't bring anything other than stress and adversity. Therefore, this verse is telling anyone who thinks that Allah is not the one to help him, in this life and in the life to come, let him or her stretch a rope to the sky and to climb up holding to it, or to tie the rope round his or her neck and cut the rope so that he will fall down, or cut his own praise so as to choke. Let him then look whether this removes any of the hardship. Okay, Allah, the only power and will in this life, is mentioning this example in order to make it clear to every Muslim that all affairs are only up to Allah. So call on Allah and ask only Allah for help, as this is the only way to remove any hardship. But if anyone is not sure of the above fact, let him show us what are the other ways which he can remove any hardship. We need all to be clear about the fact that it is only the belief in Allah's oneness, in the power, in the will, and in the mercy that gives all the support that all of us need. regarding the fact that dua has to be only to Allah, this is a rule, and a must for the dua to be accepted. Allah the Almighty clarified in many surahs of the Quran, as we mentioned, that for the dua to be accepted, it has to be only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we will read also from Surah Sabah, Surah number 43, verse number 22, which is the verse which is considered the verse of the Quran, which is clarifying to the deepest depths that dua has to be only to Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one in control of life. Surah Saba is Surah number 34, and we will read verse number 22. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل ادعوا الذين دعمتم من دون الله لا يملكون مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض وما لهم فيهما من شرك وما له منهم من ظهير.
Say, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the polytheist pagans, call upon those whom you assert to be associate gods besides Allah. They possess not even an atom's or a small ant's weight, either in the heavens or on the earth, nor have they any share in either, nor is there for him any supporter from among them.
Actually, in this verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the verse with a challenge that applies to the entire universe without exception. That challenge is for those who have partnered with Allah regarding dua, seeking help and support. Allah is saying to all of them, call on these deities to come and stand before all the world, and let them to say if they own anything in the heavens or in the earth. And let them say if they have a share in the heavens or in the earth. And let them say if Allah seeks their help in anything. Actually, the answer for all these three questions is no. According to this verse of the Quran, none own anything in the earth or in the heaven, none has any share in the heavens or in the earth, and Allah seeks no help from anyone in anything. Accordingly, we must believe that all creatures are powerless, as the power is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only Allah, the only power, the only will, whom all mankind can call for help and support, for success, hope, relief, guidance, provision, removal of hardship, and for the paradise as the final destinations. All other creatures other than Allah are just means which are controlled by Allah's will. That is to say, they can't cause benefit or prevent harm except by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our worldly life, we call on Allah for all our affairs as true believer in His oneness. Then we can use the means, for example, going to the doctor or to the lawyer or to the teacher to fulfill our needs, believing that they are just means. They are powerless in themselves, but it is Allah's will that will make them to serve us. Let us revise now the way for the answered supplication. The way to the answered supplication is the sincerity in supplication. This is the most important way for your supplication to be answered, is to have the sincerity, which includes, number one, the belief that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one to do dua to Him. Number two, to have no partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, to do the dua according to the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When your supplication will fulfill these three requirements, this means that you have a sincere supplication, and inshallah your supplication will be answered. The second way for your supplicant answered, which is also a must, is that you must have a clear belief that you are the one in the need of Allah's help and support. When you do the supplication, you have to know your situation. You are the one in need. So you must call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that, O Allah, I am the one in great need of your help and your support, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of anyone to do supplication to Him. Okay, this has to be clear, because sometimes we Muslims use a rude way or impolite way with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during supplication. Some people, you know, after they finish prayer, they will sit and say, "Oh Allah, now I finish prayer. I did for you what you command me. Now I want you to do for me what I want from you. I give you, you must give me. Astaghfirullah al-Azim." What is this? What is this? They are playing in the garden with children. This is a game between children. I give you, you give me. I do for you, you must do for me. As I pray for you, you must answer my supplication. You know, this is the way that your supplication will never be answered, because you don't know to whom you are doing the supplication. Now I will mention, inshallah, a verse from the Quran and the Hadith Qudsi mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that every one of us will know his limitations and every one of us will know the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us to do dua for him. Let us first read from Surah Fatir, verse number 15. Read from Surah 35, verse number 15. Surah number 35, verse number 15. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله والله هو الغني الحميد.
بسم الله الرحيم. O mankind, it is you who stand in need of Allah. But Allah is rich and free of all needs, worthy of all praise.
Okay. So, actually, from this verse, we have two rules. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the rich. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in no need of anyone. This must be clear to everyone. Number two, all of us are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, and in order to clarify this meaning, let us learn the following Hadith Qudsi, which that is to say, among the sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he related this Hadith from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, "O my servants, I have forbidden oppression for myself and have made it forbidden amongst you, so don't oppress one another. O my servants, all of you are astray, except for those I have guided, so seek guidance of me, and I shall guide you. O my servants, all of you are hungry, except for those I have fed, so seek food of me, and I shall feed you. O my servants, all of you are naked, except for those I have clothed, so seek clothing of me, and I shall clothe you. O my servants, you sin by night and by day, and I forgive all sins, so seek forgiveness of me, and I shall forgive you. O my servants, you will not attain harming me so as to harm me, and you will not attain benefiting me so as to benefit me. O my servants, were the first of you and the last of you, the human of you and the jinn of you, to be as pious as the most pious heart of any one man of you, that would not increase my kingdom in anything. O my servants, were the first of you and the last of you, the human of you and the jinn of you, to be as wicked as the most wicked heart of any man of you, that would not decrease my kingdom in anything. O my servants, were the first of you and the last of you, the human of you and the jinn of you, to rise up in one place and make a request of me, And were I to give everyone what he requested, that would not decrease what I have any more than a needle decreases the sea if put into it. It is only your deeds that you have to, you know, care for. Okay? This is the end of the hadith. So actually, if we try to know the reality of Allah's power and kingdom from this hadith, so that we can plan our strategy regarding our dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Surah Fatir that He is the rich, the only rich, and we all are poor. Okay? He is the only rich because He is the creator and the owner. So He is rich because He owns all of us, all the human beings, we don't own anything. You know, we just have trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for some time in the worldly life, and then everything return at the end to the only owner. So the only owner is the only rich. All of us are very poor. This is number one. So when the poor, the one who doesn't have a power and doesn't own anything, have a request from the only rich, how he is supposed to call on him? This is the, you know, how we have to have a strategy on calling to, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we clarify to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we know the truth. Oh Allah, I know, I believe you are the only owner, you are the only rich, and all of us are very poor, and because of that I am begging and I am crying and I am requesting and I am in great need, and I am very thankful to you, oh Allah, all praise to you, oh Allah, that you will help me and you will provide me, because it is all from you. You are the only rich, and we don't have any right to ask you, but you are the one out of your mercy whom you tell us, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. You said, call on me and I will answer you. So we are calling on you because you give us the right to call on you. But other than this, we don't have any right. We are just servants. We don't have any power. We are have the power when it is your power. Oh Allah, you know, this is how we have to feel about Allah. And we have to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to clarify to Allah that we believe in His oneness. And whatever we will have in this life will be from His blessings. When you clarify to Allah this, inshallah, Allah will answer your supplication. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that the food is from Allah, the clothes is from Allah, forgiving the sins from Allah. Everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if everything is only from Him, I am supposed to have any partner with Him? This is, you know, how we Muslims, you know, must reflect on our religion. This is how we can have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer all our supplication when we clarify to Him our clear belief in His oneness. This is all, you know, what Allah wants from our creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Zariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْإِنْسَ وَالْجِنَّ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِ. I just created the ins and the jinn just to worship me. This is the worshipping in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I call on Allah. When I need help, I need from Allah. When I believe in Allah. When I pray to Allah. When I give for the sake of Allah. When I help for the sake of Allah. Everything in my life is for Allah because I worship Allah and I believe in His oneness. When I live my life in this way, all my life will be an act of worship. All praise to Allah. I will be connected with Him 24 hours with the correct link. If I am connected with Allah with the correct link 24 hours, this means that I am living in His mercy 24 hours. All my deeds are counted for me, acts of worship. Good deeds, alhamdulillah, reward in this life and in the hereafter. All praise to Allah. This is the real happiness, and this is the real guidance, and this is the real peace, and real reassurance and real mercy in the worldly life and in the hereafter. So the only way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is number one, to believe in His oneness and to have sincerity with Him and to communicate with Him clarifying this belief in His oneness subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we will learn hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is proving the mentioned, previously mentioned facts. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Ibn Abbas, young man, I shall teach you some words of advice. Be mindful to Allah and Allah will protect you. Be mindful of Allah and you will find Him in front of you. If you ask, ask only Allah. And if you seek help only from Allah. And know that if all nations were to gather together to benefit you, they would benefit you only with something that Allah has already prescribed for you. The bands have been lifted and the pages are dry. This is, you see, the translation of all the facts. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his hadith is translating the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in an advice to every one of us. When you seek help from the only power, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you ask, ask the only power, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the meaning of, if all the nations were to gather together to benefit you, okay, they wouldn't benefit you except with something which Allah has prescribed for you. Why? Because all nations are powerless except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah will command them to do something by His will, okay, they can cause benefit or harm up to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not up to the all nations. So when you believe in this, you will fear something. I never fear anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I don't ask help from anyone. And I don't feel inferiority complex towards anyone. All praise to Allah. You see, this is very important for the Muslim dignity. You know, even if I am very poor, if I am very ill, even I am very weak, even, you know, in the sight of the people, I am less than zero, but in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am very valuable if I am a true believer in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in reality, I am the most happy person in life because I am living my life according to the goal of my creation, which is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having the correct link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. So, alhamdulillah, I am living with Allah all the time. I have no fear. I am not worried. I don't care for anything in life so long that I am having the correct link with the only power and the only will. And actually, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those whom they strive to believe and to live the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, inshallah, we will continue to know about other ways for the answered supplication. The third way for the answered supplication, number one is sincerity, and number two is to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the proper way. Okay, number three is to have full trust that Allah will answer your supplication. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, ادعوني استجب لكم. Do dua to me and I will answer you, your dua. This is a promise from Allah to answer our supplication. So I must have a trust in Allah's promise. Okay. Also Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, supplicate to Allah with full confidence that He will answer your supplication. This full trust in Allah regarding answering dua is by itself a cure and healing for the spirit. You know, because trust in Allah equals to the hope in Allah's mercy, which is a fundamental need for the healthy spirit. When you will tell me, Sister Mona, you look very healthy. Are your everything in your life is in the best shape? I will tell you, Sister, life is a test. So I must have hardship in my life. This is normal. So you tell me, Sister Mona, are you doing dua to Allah to relieve you from your hardship? I tell you, yes, Sister, I am living with the dua day and night. So you tell me, so Sister Mona, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered all your supplication immediately? I will tell you, Sister, this is none of my business. And none of your business also. Okay, because Allah commanded me to do the dua. when he say that, he will answer. The answer, sister, is up to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so long I am a believer in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I believe that Allah know and I know not. Okay? So maybe answering my dua immediately is in reality the real harm to me, because I know not. So I believe in the oneness of Allah, I believe in the wisdom of Allah, I believe in the mercy of Allah, I believe in the knowledge of Allah. So I live my life to do the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking for the hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having full trust that Allah will answer my dua in the best shape. This belief is making my life, alhamdulillah, full of tranquility and peace. Yes, sister, I have a supplication to Allah over the last 10 years. I'm still doing the same supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Day and night I'm doing the supplication. In the mid of the night I'm doing the supplication. And I still have the full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that inshaAllah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer my supplication in the proper time. I never lose the hope or the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually this will make us to have patience as a way for the answered supplication. This is the fourth way for your answered supplication, is to have patience. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily Allah loves those who are persistent in their supplications. All praise to Allah, we are persistent for more than 10 years. Also Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the invocation of any one of you is responded by Allah if he doesn't show impatience by saying, I invoked Allah, but my request has not been granted. Okay? So let us, the believers in Allah's unity, remember that when the answer of our dua is delayed, let us be sure that the Most Merciful is planning always the good for us. And so He will answer our dua in the best time and in the best shape which we may not imagine. For example, suppose I am doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for one of my daughters to marry, for example. And then days and years are passing and the dua is not answering. So if I don't have full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so suppose I am doing the dua subhanahu wa ta'ala for my daughter to marry, and then the years are passing, or days are passing, months are passing, and nothing is changed. I am supposed to have full trust that this is the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to lose the hope, and always to tell to myself, it is very easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make my daughter to marry at any day, but suppose she will marry someone and she will be divorced after few months, then the situation will be more complicated. You know, she will be divorced, you know, after few months, this will may cause for her a psychological problem. Or suppose she marry for 1 year, then she has a baby, then she is divorced with a baby. So the situation will be more complicated. Now she has someone, you know, to take care of, you know, and it is not easy. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is delaying the answering for some of the dua, we must be sure that so long as I am true believer in Allah, I have sincerity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I obey all the commands of Allah, that this is not a delay from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is planning for the proper time, inshallah, for the supplication to be answered, that is to say, for my daughter to have the proper marriage, which will be the source, inshallah, of happiness for me, which I am in reality looking for. Allah knows what every one of us is looking for. So Allah will plan for our hopes to be reality in the time which Allah knows, and in the circumstances which will be successful for us. Okay? So we must not ever lose the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that inshaAllah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer our supplication. The next way for answering supplication is that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, to enjoin what is right and to forbid evil, what is wrong. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, you should enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. Otherwise, Allah will descend punishment upon you and then you will ask Him, but your supplications will never be answered. So every one of us, before questioning, oh Allah, why my supplications are not answered, every one of us must check these conditions which are a must for our supplication to be answered. Are you from the one who enjoin the right and forbid the evil? Are you from the one who follow the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Fulfill your duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. InshaAllah, if you are one of these, InshaAllah, be sure that your dua will be answered. I will mention now about the last way for your answer supplication is to use lawful food and drink and clothes. That is to say, to have halal earning, lawful earning. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, make your food lawful, halal, then do your dua to Allah and your dua will be answered. It is Allah's mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to live halal life and to have halal earning, because we will have it hoping that inshallah Allah will answer our supplication. Actually, I will mention now about the ways, about the times to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the dua is more likely to be accepted. Okay, actually number one is Laylatul Qadr. Okay, yes, Laylatul Qadr is the number one regarding the time for the dua to be accepted. Actually, it is for the whole month of Ramadan. It is the time of acceptance of dua, but the Laylatul Qadr is, subhanallah, you know, is the night for the answering of the dua, as inshallah mentioned by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So number one is Laylatul Qadr. Number two, actually, during the prayers. I will mention now during the prayers, number one between the Adhan and the Iqam. You see, between Adhan and the Iqamah. Yes. For example, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the invocation is not rejected between the Adhan and the Iqamah, so do invoke. So when you listen to the Adhan, okay, and say, Allahumma rabba hadhihi al-da'wat al-tamma wa salat al-qa'ima ati sayyidina Muhammad al-wasilat wal-fadila wa ba'asu Allahumma maqaman mahmudan, then start doing dua until you know the call for the prayer to start, which is the iqama comes. This is the time of acceptance of the dua between the adhan and the iqama. This is number one. Number two, regarding the prayer, during the sujood, when you are in prostration, okay, this is the position when you are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the closest a person gets to his Lord is during sujood, prostration. Therefore, increase your dua when you are in sujood. Like this, in prayer, keep on doing dua for everything. One must try to invoke Allah in every prostration. Whenever you are in sujood, in prostration, oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah. Okay, so this is number two. So number one, between the adhan and the iqama. Number two, when you are in sujood, in prostration. Number three, in prayer after tashahud. Before saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum. Before saying assalamu alaikum, when you finish the tashahud, okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you do the dua until you say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. So in prayer after the tashahud, this is number three. Number four, regarding dua and prayer, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, after the obligatory prayer. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Which dua is most likely to be answered? He said, in the depths of the last part of the night and after the obligatory prayers. So after you say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, do dua again. So after tashahud, you do dua. After finishing prayer, you do dua. In sujood, you do dua. Between the adhan and the iqama, you do dua. These four conditions of dua related to prayer, most likely to be accepted. Also, on the last part of the night. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, our Lord descends every night to the lowest heaven when the last third of the night remains, and he says, if there is anyone to invoke me so that I may respond to his invocations, is there anyone to ask me for something so that I may grant him his request, if there is anyone to ask for forgiveness so that I may forgive him. Actually, sisters, again and again, this night prayer actually has a very special blessing for the believers, because according to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is the most likely time to be answered for the supplication. Because, you know, if we realize for 1 minute, you know, that for example around 3:30 a.m. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so close in the first heaven, and Allah is saying to us, if there is anyone who has invocation, I will answer his invocation. So how come I can sleep, you know, if I have a mind and a heart, while Allah, the only power, the only will, the only mercy, the only hope, the only hope in life, he is telling to every one of us, for example, if I am Mona, I will hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to me, Mona, you have an invocation, come and invoke me. If you want me to forgive your sins, I will forgive you. So, you know, sisters, this is up to everyone. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do for us more than this? To come down and to tell, if you are looking for a hope, I will answer your calling or invocation. So actually, you know, this is, you know, how you can evaluate your belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are a true believer in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, true believer that my dua will be answered only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never be able to sleep when Allah is down in the heaven, in the last third of the night. And you will be having all the precautions, you know, for this very important event in your life. And subhanallah, you know, sisters, when actually Allah will guide you, because this is up to the guidance and the help and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to evaluate this event. Actually, its real evaluation and estimation, it will be the most happiest minutes of your life when you will be in the position of sujood or prostration at the last third part of the night, when you are in the closest position to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prostration, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the closest, to all of us, you know, when he will be in the lowest heaven, okay, you will feel actually the real mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will feel actually how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful, because you will feel that in reality I am giving and I am sending all my messages of pain, sadness, worry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in reality you will feel how all the burden, you are able to get rid of it, and you will feel the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you are still in the position of prostration down. Subhanallah. Actually, this is the cure and the healing for every heart who is in reality believing in the oneness of Allah, ready, you know, to do anything so that, you know, I prove, oh Allah, that I am a true believer in you, and oh Allah, I am looking for your help and only the help from you. Subhanallah, inshaAllah, may Allah make it, you know, for every one of us. Actually, I was planning to make a class about the night prayer. But to tell you the truth, when I observe that it is very difficult for the Muslims to pray Fajr prayer, I feel that, you know, it is not realistic to make a class about night prayer, so long as most of the Muslims in reality are not praying Fajr prayer. Let the Muslims, you know, pray the obligatory Fajr prayer, because this is an obligatory prayer. Uh-huh. And inshallah, one day, maybe, we will be able to have a class, full class about the night prayer, so that inshallah, the Muslims whom Allah loves them in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them to wake up to meet Him when He is in the closest position, and to invoke to Him, and to have the blessings of being very close to Him in the last part of the night. And actually, if you want to know the last part of the night exactly, okay, suppose now Aisha prayer is at what time? 10. Exactly? 10 o'clock. Okay. For example, suppose 10 o'clock.
9:50 or something.
Okay, around 10 o'clock. Fajr prayer is around 5 o'clock. Okay? Yeah. Around. So from 10 to 5, you have 7 hours. Yeah. Okay? Divide these 7 hours into three parts. Okay? So every one of them would be around 2 hours. And for example 15 minutes, for example. So the third part of the night will be Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, 12:15, then 2:30. So maybe from around, you know, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, let me count this exactly. This is 4:30, 10 plus 4:30, 2:30. Okay, it's not. So from around 3 o'clock. Let us from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. Okay, from 3 to 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest heaven. You know, nowadays, actually, it changes according to the time. So nowadays, between 3 and 5, every one of us is having a great opportunity to wake up and to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to ask Allah and to call on Allah for all what you are looking for, and to ask Allah for giving the sins. But to make it easy for the Muslims, okay, so long is Fajr prayer now is around 5 o'clock, you can wake up 4:30. No problem. We don't say 3 o'clock so that it will be very difficult. You can wake up 4:30 and do wudu immediately and pray 2 rak'ahs only. 2 rak'ahs only will be considered for you night prayer, and during these 2 rak'ahs do sujood, long prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep on calling on Him with all the the need, and with all the weakness, and with all your tears, and from the depths of your heart, clarifying His oneness and clarifying the belief in Him. So inshallah, I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that every one of us will try to pray at least 2 rak'ahs just before Fajr prayer, and it will be considered for him and her a night prayer. And during this night prayer, you have the best opportunity to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to ask for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also on the day of Jum'ah, Yawm al-Jum'ah, according to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is an hour of Jum'ah, Yawm al-Jum'ah, in which the dua is accepted. So let us try to spend the day in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and invoking to Him. Yawm al-Jum'ah is a very special day in Islam, al-Jum'ah, you know, a Friday. Yes, al-Jum'ah is Friday. Friday is a very special day in Islam. Okay, there is an hour when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always accepts the supplication. Nobody exactly knows what is this hour. So let us be, alhamdulillah, inshallah, close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Him all the day of Yawm al-Jum'ah, inshallah. Okay, also on the day of Arafah, this is one of the days, you know, for answering supplication. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said the best supplication is the supplication on the day of Arafah. Also from the answered supplication is the supplication of the one who is suffering injustice. You know, in the al-Mazloom. oppression, the oppressed person. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, be aware of the supplication of the oppressed person, because there is no shelter or veil between it and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, this is a very important one of the answered supplication, the supplication of the oppressed person. And actually, it is a warning for every one of us regarding the hadith which we mentioned at the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid oppressions, and He make it forbidden between His servants, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us not to forbid one another. Here, Prophet Muhammad is clarifying that whoever is oppressed and he will raise his hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer his supplication. There is no shelter between the answer of the dua of the oppressed person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every one of us must be aware not to oppress anyone, any creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be away from oppression. Even sometimes I accept to be oppressed, then I accept to be an oppressor. You get my point? So that if I am oppressed, still I have a way with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can raise my hands. But if I am oppressing any person, there is a possibility that that person will raise his hands or her hands against me, and Allah will answer the supplication of the oppressed person. So all the time be away from oppression. Always remember the supplication of the oppressed person is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, three supplications will not be rejected. The one who is fasting when he breaks the fast, the oppressed, and the travelers.
Third one,
the travelers. When you are traveling, you know, when you are traveling, you have an accepted supplication. Also during the rain, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, two supplications will not be rejected. Supplication after the adhan, which we mention now, and the supplication at the time of the rain, because the gates of the heavens are opened, you know, for the rain. So you can raise your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the gates of the heaven are opened, and inshaAllah, Allah will answer your supplication. At the end, I will mention the manners of supplications to be answered. Number one, you should start with Bismillah. Praise is to Allah. Peace and blessing be upon the Messenger of Allah. Okay? So you must say, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad. And you can also say, Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah, the owner of everything, the provider, the most merciful. You know, you can praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His blessings. Number two, dua should be performed secretly. Dua should be performed secretly, in secret. Okay, I'm not supposed to say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, yeah. I want you. As if Allah doesn't listen. You know, Allah knows what is in our hearts, and Allah knows our intentions. So I am supposed to call Him secret, you know, in secret. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah. Because this is something between Him and you. You don't want the other people to know about the dua. This is the imam, you know, because imam, he has people say after him, you know, he has others, they will say Ameen. But when you are alone, you know, this is when you are alone. You have a question?
I mean, with someone else, and they start praying out loud, you know, if they start making dua out loud.
This is not correct. Okay. You can tell her.
I kind of feel like, you know, like they're kind of like showing off or something, or, you know, it's just not.
Yes, but it is
for
not.
For me, I have to be like, you know, like myself when I make dua, you know.
I tell
I don't
you.
Like to make it out loud in front of other people, you know.
This is not the manner. This is not the correct manners of supplication. You know, because as they are looking for Allah to answer their supplication, there is another person sitting beside them also in need to supplicate to Allah. So you must, you know, feel the presence of the other and the right of the other. And again, supplication is a secret between you and Allah. Why you want to make it loud? You know, and I tell you one thing, the more the more you feel that it is a secret between you and Allah, the more you make it in a very sincere way. You know, because you clarify the reality of your weakness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when I do supplication in front of the people, you know, I will tell to myself, I can't clarify my real weakness, my real need, my real, you know, misery situation. I can't clarify it in front of the people. But when I am with Allah only, and I believe that Allah knows the reality more than me, how my situation is so bad, Allah knows it, so I can clarify to Allah my real weakness, my real need, my, you know, the disaster which I am living. So yeah, always... Number three, the dua must be, should be with humility, and you must accept great need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dua should be repeated three times. Okay? Yes. Number five, invoke to Allah by His names and attributes. Oh Allah, you are the most merciful. Oh Allah, you are the all-knower. Oh Allah, you are the all-power. Oh Allah, you are the almighty. Okay? Try to use the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by mentioning the righteous deeds you have done. You can say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Oh Allah, I am doing dua to you because you are my Lord and you are the one I am in need of your help. Oh Allah, actually for your sake I did so and so, I helped so and so, I did that effort. It is all for your sake, Oh Allah, and because I am true believer in you and all my deeds are for your sake. You have a conversation with your Lord, you know, clarifying to Him how you believe in Him and how you are in great need of Him. Number seven, admit your sins during your supplication. Okay, always tell to Allah, I am the sinner, I am the, you know, ignorant, I don't know, I am not obedient, Oh Allah, you know, try to clarify to Allah that He is Allah, the all power, and you are the very poor, the very needy, the sinful human being. Face the Qibla during your supplication. Don't be aggressive when you are supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Such as asking Allah to make you a prophet. You know, there are some people, they ask Allah to make them prophets. Okay? This is not acceptable. Don't be aggressive when you supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when, number 10, when making supplications for others, start with yourself. Okay? Then include others. And number 11, remember to include your parents in your supplications. I hope that inshallah with the manners of supplication and the ways to the answered supplication, I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that inshallah we have some correct knowledge about the way to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that inshallah Allah the most merciful will always answer our supplication, and we always, alhamdulillah, do our dua only to our Lord, the only one. And